foremost in our minds today is the beginning of a new quarter, with all that that means. New faces, new pressures, new challenges, more work, less play, and all of that. And on this day particularly, the beginning of a new quarter may well mean the unwelcome interruption of a break from the routine. But for us who sit in this chapel and study theology as members of a liturgical church, of a church body that is very conscious of the fact that we are in the last time, we also recognize that on this day, the Monday of the last week of the church year, the gospel read a moment ago speaks to us of the last judgment. What does it mean to do theology, eschatological? What does it mean to begin a new quarter under the impact of the gospel of the last judgment? Well, brothers and sisters, it means one thing, first of all, and that is that there does come an end to this world. There is a judgment. Life doesn't just go on for us or for anyone. The gospel which was read from the lesson a moment ago makes that very, very clear. We're living in a day, it is true, in which there is a renewed fascination with things eschatological. People write books that are read by hundreds of thousands of people that speculate about the end of all things. But the harsh reality is that most of the people in this world don't really believe it. We are so conditioned by our own lifestyle, by our historic thinking, by our acceptance of reality as something that just goes on, and if anything gets better, that we don't really, I mean you and I, don't really take it that seriously. Some have a way, of course, of existentializing the whole message of last judgment to become simply a figure of speech to describe the acquisition of self-thought or of self-understanding in some and the lack of it in others. Or there are those who, even within the pale of the church, will look at the story of the last judgment and its many scriptural references and conclude that this really does embrace all men somehow. That the last judgment, if there is to be one, is always good news, and good news for everyone. One thing this gospel makes clear for you and me and all of us on this day as we begin another quarter of theological study and do so at the beginning of the last week of the church year is to impress upon us the reality of God's coming judgment. The parousia is not a fiction, it is a reality. The Son of Man comes in his glory, all of his angels with him. He sits on a glorious throne. All the nations are gathered there before him, and judgment takes place. It isn't just that all things somehow come to an end and evaporate. Judgment takes place. As Matthew tells it, he places the sheep at his right hand, the goats at his left. He has these other ways of caring the two great halves of mankind. Not only the sheep and the goats, but the blessed and the cursed. Oh, in that last great verse, they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Sheep, goat, cursed, blessed, life, punishment. Two great contrasting realities that become so very, very evident in the story of the last judgment. But how then do we receive this message of the last judgment, you and I, sons of God by faith in Jesus Christ? I submit that first of all, the gospel makes clear to us that this should be heard as a word of law. That's one thing, of course, that's easy to hear as we read the accounts of the last judgment. Somehow, eschatology has a tendency to make all of us feel uncomfortable. We are reminded of our sins, our unpreparedness for his coming, and we don't like to hear that. And so we hear it as a word of law. And indeed it is. The words of our Lord to the church, who came before him in this great scene, as he come before him make it very clear that the lifestyle of the Christian is indeed one that prepares them for eternal punishment. And you see them rejecting the poor and the weak and the hungry and the imprisoned as signs of their rejection of him who came to free the poor and the weak and the blind and the maimed. It's a word of law to us, even to us, to know God by faith in Jesus Christ. But even the little things in our lives, our disregard for the brother in this place, our acts of lovelessness and our failure to be compassionate, but all of these things too are signs of the trust that appears to us and that must be discarded as we face the great judge, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the message of the last judgment is always such a word of law. It reminds us clearly, forcefully, and even painfully that there does come an end and that Christ the King sits in judgment even upon our acts of lovelessness. But brothers and sisters, the message of the last judgment is preeminently a word of good news and good cheer, a word of gospel. The shepherd king who is portrayed in this magnificent scene addressed his sheep with these words, "Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Just think of it, this magnificent rule of God in Jesus Christ with grace and mercy and peace and forgiveness and hope and life, all that is involved in this magnificent concept of God's kingdom. This has been prepared for us and for all men even before the foundation of the world. And the last judgment is a message of invitation to you and to me and to all men to come, O blessed of the Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. These words are evidently linked to the word of the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 34. What magnificent comfort the prophet Ezekiel speaks of this king who judges and who separates the sheep and the goats. Hear that word of good cheer. Thus says the Lord God, "Behold, I myself will search out my sheep, and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when some of his sheep have been scattered abroad, so will I seek out my sheep. And I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered and they are fired from thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the country. I will feed them with good pasture. I myself will be the shepherd of the sheep. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the cripple, I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will watch over." That's what our Lord Jesus Christ has done in giving us the kingdom. He has sought us out. He has made us the sheep of his pasture. He has even now given us the invitation to come and inherit the kingdom prepared for us before the foundation of the world. For that reason, the apostles of the New Testament remind us again and again that the last judgment is not ultimately a word of law for us. "He who hears my word and believes," writes the apostle John in chapter 5, "he has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." Or in John chapter 3, "He who believes in him is not condemned. He who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." And you remember that magnificent word of the Apostle Paul in Romans 8. "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Yes, the message of the last judgment is a message of good news for us, a message of gospel, of invitation, a reminder that in Christ Jesus there is no longer condemnation for death. And imagine it, as you hear the judge look at us and all the righteous, he reminds us of how even the little things that we have done in his name, the clothing of the naked, the visitation of the sick, the word of good cheer to the prisoner, all of these things we did unto him. He saw things that we didn't even know we were doing in his name. And he doesn't see all of the many failures and sins and shortcomings because he himself has covered them by his blood. So, brothers and sisters, to study theology eschatologically in view of the last judgment is to take it seriously, is to be reminded of the word of law that is implicit in it, but above all, it is to struggle on and to study and prepare oneself with the sure good news that the blessed of the Father have inherited this marvelous kingdom prepared for us and for all men. And for you and me, there's even an added bonus. God has called us, even now, to be messengers of that good news. God bless you on this day and in this quarter.